This audio is visual is a podcast aimed at engaging photographers like yourself, Nonzuzo. So I want to speak to photographers that whose work I admire about some of their business models and some of the topics that they engage in using like visuals. So you are one of those people whom I fan on and go crazy when I see images online which you've posted. So I saw a quote on your Tumblr account that says you are always exploring, learning and becoming. And when I saw that quote, I linked it exactly with the fact that you are a self-taught photographer. Do you like being in a system of some sort, or do you like approaching things where you just teach yourself and find the ways to do it yourself?
I don't like rules, I guess. So in a way, yes. And it so happened that I think money was a big part of it, just like trying to teach myself and all that stuff. And somehow the approach has worked for me because I think I'm learning differently, like from someone who goes to school. Because I think with school, somehow you have to follow someone's idea of what looks good and all that stuff. Though I think as I'm shooting more, I find that I'd love to learn the technical side of things, because I think you get to a point where you want your pictures to look a certain way, or like now I'm at a point where I'm like, okay, I'd love to have exhibitions or whatever, whatever. And I find that certain aesthetics or how images look, you know, that plays a part. So somewhere, somehow, I'm like, it's great that I'm self-taught and all that. And I guess, yeah. Yeah, it's challenging. Just like,
Being a self-taught like photographer has like gotten you into spaces where you meet different people. And also it forces you to be disciplined and so forth. Like, what are like some of the stuff that you are always cautious of when you go about your day? Because you are someone who whips out your phone and just makes images as you go. You see stuff as you go, and I think that's like one of the things that really attracted me to your work is the fact that I could relate to some of the images that you post online, just like fly on the wall type of stuff. As life goes on, you're there documenting that.
So I think being in the city, Johannesburg, you know, you always hear about how dangerous the city is and stuff like that, and somehow you're always fearful that even when you amongst people you're not open, you know, but like one day I just decided that, hey, I'm gonna stop with all of that and just try and take pictures as much as I can, you know. There's certain places where you just have to be extra careful, cautious, because it is dangerous. But other places I think people are open and welcoming and all that stuff. So for me, it's just a nice way of engaging with people, because sometimes I think we get used to being in our own worlds that we forget what is happening around us. So somehow for me, photography has been that, like a thing I can use to engage with people and hear other stories than the people I hang around with in other spaces.
That sort of also gives like your work a feeling of nothing is rehearsed when you make your images.
True.
It's just like made in the moment, like without even like thinking about it. Because you come across some images that you need to take now, because you can't leave that image and come back and find it again.
That's true. So I don't know. I am drawn to things that are not perfect. You know, like we live in a world where we obsessed with perfection, you know, we want pictures that are crisp and sharp and all that, you know. We post pictures on Instagram and people are looking like
clean.
Yeah, you know. So there's something beautiful about the not so perfect grungy, you know. I mean, in town you find the most odd looking person but dressed beautifully and stuff like that, you know, the way people carry themselves, you know. And just colors, the old buildings and all that stuff. So I like that part, you know. And it just reminds you of just I don't know, there's something real about it, you know, that is exciting, and it just really moves me. And yeah, you know.
I think from that, like, those are like the two dominating themes in your work of fashion and documentary. But then, like, as an image maker, there's a fine line between, like, telling stories as they are and also tweaking them to accommodate one's own agenda. Like, how conscious of you sometimes when you make images? Because I feel like it's hard sometimes to, say, make images of things as you see them, because people are so used to seeing, like, images of poverty porn that now, as like, image makers and, I think, anthropologists of this day and age, we constantly have to be cautious and aware of how we tell stories of our own people. So how are you, like, as you go about, like, making these images, making sure that you're not exploiting or telling stories differently to what they are?
So that's a tricky one, because it's a question I always ask myself, like, am I feeding into the whole idea that everyone's been seeing that, oh, Africa is like this, or do my images tell a different story? I'm not sure if I am achieving that, you know, but somehow I hope I do, you know. It's not like too, I don't know, but I hope it's slightly different, you know. I think the difference is I am part of that world to a certain degree. It's not like I come in and then I'm out, you know. So I think that is the difference. But in terms of the visuals, I hope I'm not adding to that narrative.
Exploitation, yeah, definitely.
But I try and just, I try and take the beautiful, because as much as it is grungy and all that stuff, but I think there's always something beautiful. You look at the images, and instead of saying, that's poverty, I think there's something else that you see. You can tell me, since you...
Exactly, yeah, it's an awkward one. Like, I was speaking to someone, Anthony Bieler, and then we were talking just about the same topic.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's hard. I think it's very hard, like, for documentary photographers to sort of break that... that idea that people have, which has been set by, like, white people who came in and documented us now. So how differently are we approaching that? It's difficult. And I love, like, just, like, everyday life, people stories. That's me. I resonate with that more.
And the funny thing for me is, like, right now I'm in Craigwell Park, and I walk around because I walk a lot, you know, and I try and see what I can photograph and all that stuff. And I'm like, there's nothing that's exciting. There's no one who walks around except for the people that work in the area. But people who live in the area, you hardly see anyone, you know. You see these high, tall buildings and gates and security guards, you know. And I'm like, there's nothing, you know. But when I come to town, there's life, you know. You get a mix of poverty, of people that are making things happen. People are driven, you know. You see the people that are selling food on the side of the street, you know. You see the people, the Nyawupe guys, you know, and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know. Even with all of that, there's still hope, you know. People, I don't know, there's something about the way people carry themselves that is just, like, full of hope. And when you look at that, it's just like, okay, it's not that bad. I mean, it is bad, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, there's light, you know, at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, they want better. It's just that because of where they come from or something like that, they just stuck in this situation where they're just trying to make ends meet and stuff.
It's really a tricky one, man. But I still feel like it's very important for us to tell those stories as well, because you can't, like, we can't, like, for me, yeah, man, it's a tricky one.
And the thing is, not everyone lives in Sandton.
Exactly.
Everyone, you know. And I mean, you go to Soweto, for instance, it's a different world together, you know. Like, one thing I love about Soweto is the lights and the people. And the funny thing is, whether you're in town or in Soweto, it's the same. Like, it's the same reality. Certain places are nicer than other places. So, like, that is how it is, you know, and we can just try and make it look good the best way.
Hey, man, and I mean, if we're not going to tell those stories, who's going to tell them, hey? So true. It's very important that that's also documented. So what would you say is the current state of, like, photography in our country?
I am not sure, just because I guess I don't engage with a lot of photographers from around, but I just know that there's a lot of work that's around fashion, that's for Instagram. Sometimes I feel like the photographers that are doing really great work, we hardly see their work in public spaces and all that stuff. And I don't know if it's because they don't show their work or mm-hmm. it's one of those things. Sometimes I feel like there's people who will market themselves very well mm-hmm. that they noticed, and those are the people we see, you know. I mean, there's that whole thing that talent alone won't get you for your places, you know. So I don't know. But there's also a lot of female photographers that are coming up, but being in Joburg and just looking at the art scene, well, the photography scene, I always feel like the guys are out there doing the work. I don't know if they support each other more or if the women are just not getting themselves out there and doing more, you know. So that's interesting. You know?
So you would say you feel like there's more work that we need to do as female photographers to engage the space and contribute work?
Yes, I think so. Like, for instance, like with me, as much as I shoot and all that stuff, but I haven't been showing my work like a lot. I haven't tried to get a curator or someone to be like, hey, you know, I've got this work, mm-hmm. please help me, whatever. A couple of years back, I was part of a group exhibition that mm-hmm. was organized by, forgot her name, but it was called She Clicks, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a group of female photographers. It was really, really cool, but I'm not sure what happened after we had the exhibition, you know. And so even with collaborations, I don't think female photographers collaborate a lot. Mm. You know, sometimes we have conversations about doing stuff together, but it never really happens.
So you'd say the onus is on us, and because some people would have this conversation differently, where they'd say, no, female photographers are sidelined and marginalized, and we are not given like the space to contribute.
It might be true, but at the same time, I feel it's up to us to take charge, you know. Like,
I like that approach.
Yeah, and just see what happens. I mean, I know that finding space is a problem, you know, especially when you don't have funding and all that stuff. But I've also seen people who just say, hey, I've got an apartment, I'll print pictures and put stuff together. They post online that they have an exhibition and all that stuff. So I think maybe if we think differently about getting our work out there, maybe, you know, there'll be progress. And
definitely. So. No, I agree with that as well. Mm. And on that note, like, you and your twin sister do a lot of work together, yes. mainly through Carbon Copy.
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about that and how that came to be?
So Carbon Copy is like a collaboration between me and my twin sister. Basically, it was inspired by the fact that she's in Cape Town, I'm here in Joburg, and then we'd come across a lot of people would be like, hey, Nongleto, when they meet me, you know, like, oh no, I'm the other twin.
Can you imagine?
You know? And basically, it was just exploring our relationship as twins as we're growing up and being in different places, the experience, because our life experiences are different and all that stuff, you know, and just our relationship. And it was an idea to sort of meet other twins and explore their relationships as well, you know, because I think somehow people just assume twins are, they get along and they have this perfect relationship and all that stuff, you know. So it was just to see how we are as individuals as well as a team, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, when we work together, we're always fighting and agree on things. And we sort of like learn things about each other, you know. So it has been interesting. So we're hoping the project will grow to other things. I mean, towards the end of last year, we sort of did a small T-shirt collection, mm-hmm. Which was just inspired by black excellence and just the color black, you know, because that is like one of our favorite colors, you know, and talking to people and how they feel about that color, you know. So it just... yeah.
How's that? Like, what was the response like from people?
So far, it has been good. We've just been really lazy, just like pushing it. But it has been really, really good. So we are hoping that we'll, for the next 6 months, we'll do more T-shirts and then, do something.
In my mind, carbon copy from the outside in, looking in, it looks as though it's like a business model where you guys take in work through Carbon Copy and then assign it either to Nongeto or Nonzuzo, depending on where the client is.
Yes, that as well. But I guess the whole idea was at some point in time, we will be in one city and sort of like have this business where we do work, starting from photography to whatever else, you know. Like, we're hoping there'll be video stuff that we do. And whatever else that comes with it. So far it has been just, if someone in Cape Town needs something, then Nongeto will do that, you know, or if I'm here in Joburg, then
That's dope, man.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the Carbon Copy stuff. Like, there's this one particular project that I think a lot of people like go gaga over, where you guys were documenting twins.
Yes.
All over the country?
We tried to. It was very
so
tricky.
How that was self-funded, obviously, so you guys moved around.
The twins that were in Cape Town, Nongeto shot those, and then the twins that were in Joburg, I shot those, and then whenever we could get together, then we'd do the stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was a tricky process in terms of time more than anything, because, you know, trying to work with other people's time in our time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is also the reason why we have not really done more work around twins, because it's just tricky finding time to do.
Will you guys ever like exhibit that work?
We would love to. Anyone who's a curator would love to, because it's really, really beautiful. I would love to show it. And we've just showed it online to a couple of sites, and the response was really amazing. And hopefully, I don't know, maybe this year or something, someone.
Yeah, the universe is receiving that. It should happen. Yeah, because our work can't just like exist online and
definitely
documents on our computer. Like, people, as you said before, we have all of this work, but no one really puts themselves out that much for people to see and engage with their work. And you mentioned something about space earlier on, like the importance of space, like how important is space for a photographer or any like creative artist?
I think it is important, because you cannot exist in your own space, you know. So I think if you have access to places or spaces where more people can come and see what you do or engage with your work, it's good. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be a gallery. Maybe there's other spaces we can explore, you know. I think maybe that will be different, because as well, galleries are intimidating for other people, you know. Someone sees a gallery, it's like, I can't go to Goodman Gallery because
they're very intimidating.
You know? Or you come to Maboneng, you know, people sort of assume a certain person comes to Maboneng, you know. Mm. So it's like, it's a tricky one. I don't know, once I had thought it'd be nice to just have print the work and have it pasted on like bridges and stuff like that, because I'm like, okay, people pass bridges every day. I mean, in Joburg, you have people sleeping under bridges, you know, and it's like, oh,
that's an audience,
yeah, to see how they respond to that and all that stuff. So I think we shouldn't limit ourselves to just gallery spaces, but just explore other things.
There's more, more. Totally agree with that. And then how long have you been photographing for, like in terms of years?
Ooh, I don't know, because it's not something that I've taken seriously for like a very long time.
Wait, besides photography, is there something else that you do?
Sort of. I'm kind of like into fashion. Mm-hmm. So for some time I used to sell art and main, so I'd source things and sell. So I guess styling and sourcing, and I work at a bookstore in the evenings, so that's like really interesting. And I don't know.
Maybe you could turn the bookstore into, I don't know, an exhibition space for some of your works, a collab.
Unfortunately, because it's a particular
space,
probably not. So maybe someone else who has a bookstore and they're willing to.
Even like creating a book and then publishing that with some of your images could
a
be something.
A book would be nice. I don't know. I always speak to Dillian from Creative Nestlings because he said like, oh, you can do that, you know. And I always think it's a tricky one, you know, because I guess I'm getting to a point where I'm trusting myself as a photographer, because as much as I'm putting work out there and thinking, okay, I have really good work, but I have not felt confident enough to put it into a book. So maybe with the work that I'm currently working on, like for instance, I've got these nudes that I've been shooting of like women and just conversations around the body, the black female body. So I'm like, I really like that work, and I feel that if I could find like a writer who would sort of like put a nice narrative with the images, then maybe I could
happen.
And actually there's a guy that I'm like, it'd be nice if he were to do my book. His name is Joe. He's got like a studio in Wurzburg. He prints a lot of works for South African artists and stuff, and I saw this book he did for Nelson Mukama, and I was like, okay, this is the guy.
Found your person.
Yeah, so hopefully it's something that will happen in the near future, but I believe when we put things out there, they must be really, really proper, because sometimes I feel that we have a tendency to just put things together just to get them out there, you know. But I like beautiful books, you know, with like really great detail, you know. And yeah, so I'm like, there's a lot to consider before putting the book out there. And yeah.
And then just to close off, I wanted to find out, like, freelance photography, how much of that do you do? Or is it just like mainly like passion projects that you engage in?
So, like I was saying, that I guess I'm just getting to a point where I'm just like really confident in trusting myself. So a lot of the time it was passion project, but now I'm getting to a place where I'm like, okay, I want money.
You balance the two. Money's so important, man, and we need to stop shying away from the fact that we need money to survive
to
and
survive
have spaces
and to make
work
things
in.
To happen. With spaces, I don't know, like with photography, I feel you can work anywhere, you don't really need like a set space, you know. But money is important to get things done, whether you're traveling, whether you need equipment or paying people, or so I am trying to get to that part where I charge and just don't feel awkward about it.
Please charge people, it's important. Please, please. But when you do charge, what do you take into consideration? What do you factor into that price?
So it's the time, insurance, I don't know. It depends as well.
If on the type of job. Be,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And who the client is as well, that comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I don't know. The few people that I've worked with as well, you know, there'll always be someone who's like, hey, discount, you know. Mm. So yeah, we deal with that. And then there's people who are just like, okay, that's your fee, you know, that's fine, and we'll pay it. But mm. yeah, so hopefully one will get more of those people.
So if someone is listening to this and they want to book you, so while they were listening, they went and checked out your work, how can they go about finding you? Email address, Nyana.
So my email address is nonzuzoglegwa@yahoo.com, mm-hmm. or they can WhatsApp me on 072-595-4622.
Cool. And then it on Instagram, nonzuzoglegwa, right?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your time.